Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined by Vivek. It's after hours, late after hours at Scotiabank. It's the mood after game two, a lot better than the mood after game one. That's for certain. The Raptors smacking the Orlando Magic by a score of 111-82. What was that stat you just hit me with before we started doing the pod?
This is the biggest win in postseason franchise history. And the previous one was game seven against the Miami Heat, where, if you might remember, Kyle Lowry went off again.
Yeah, listen, so we did a preview podcast, the two of us, about, what, 9 hours ago?
Yeah.
Around 3 o'clock. About right now, that. It's about 11:40. I think you and I, we weren't entirely sure if Kyle was going to score 15 points. Kyle definitely had 15-plus points today. And what did you have? Raptors by
12 plus, I said.
12 plus?
Convincing win.
I said 8. I said it was going to be a tight game. This was not a tight game. We were wrong. Why were you listening to us in the first place? Yeah, I mean, look, listen. That, obviously, 2016, game 7 against the Heat. Kyle is 35. Probably one of the best Raptor performances of all time. Kawhi has one of the best Raptor performances of all time. But I think the biggest story out of this game, obviously, is Kyle Lowry bouncing back in game 2.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you know, I think it might have been easy for negativity to creep in, some anxiety to creep in when Kyle, you know, he gets to the free throw line in the first minute of the game. He misses the first free throw and everyone could have moaned and groaned, but it was crazy. The crowd, they showed all the love they could for him. They got on their feet. They gave him a standing ovation before he could even take the second free throw.
Yeah,
he makes the second. Might have been a little embarrassing to have all that noise for 1 point. But then after that, you look at the defense that he played, getting up into Evan Fournier when he was on DJ Augustin, managed him really, really well. And then, you know, that sort of led to the full KLO experience, right? Then the threes came, then the assists came, and it was all just a great flow. The chemistry he had with Marc Gasol defensively, I thought, was incredible, defending pick and rolls. So all in all, you know, I think this is part of why we were frustrated with that game one loss, right?
Yeah.
Because we know that this is the full KLO experience. This is what we usually expect from Kyle Lowry, and he delivered this time.
Yeah, and that's why the discourse was ridiculous. People were like, oh, 0 points, but he impacted the game in other ways. Yeah, he's always going to impact the game in other ways. He's an incredibly clever player and a very gritty player as well, but like,
you just expect that. That's sort of the base standard of what you expect from him.
It's like, come on. No. This is when Kyle Lowry shows up. Like, and when Kyle shows up, like, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he makes game-changing plays. The way Nick Nurse described Kyle heading into the playoffs was like, you know, Kyle has this rare ability where he's just going to make like 4 or 5 game-changing plays. And it just like stretches a close game into a blowout. It stretches a deficit into a lead. I mean, this is what Kyle does today. Kyle Lowry plays 37 minutes. A little bit high considering the score, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. Had a great night.
They're out till Friday. It's all good.
Exactly. They got lots of time. Kyle Lowry was plus 30 tonight. You know what I mean? This is when I look at plus minus, all right? That plus 11 in game one, I don't really care about it that much. Today, plus 30. That plus 30 is completely deserved on Kyle Lowry's part. You know, the two things that really stood out to me, one, the crowd, right? The crowd was incredible, right? Like, after that first free throw that he hit, it literally sounded like when the Raptors just hit 100 points for free pizza in a loss to like the Sacramento Kings back in like 2012. It's another direct memory of mine as a sad Raptors fan. But I mean, you know, Kyle, like, it's just the crowd was so supportive. And the way the night ended, you know, Kyle gets subbed out, you know, late in the fourth quarter. The entire crowd gives him an ovation before that. Kawhi gets that ovation. We'll talk plenty about Kawhi as well because he was also really good. But, you know, the way that the city got behind Kyle, especially during a very difficult moment, like, You know, like, yeah, the guy took a lot of heat, and I think deservedly so, but you know, everyone is behind him no matter what, right? Like, it's like when he disappoints you, it's only because you want him to be better and you know he can be better, and today he was better. And so
we're hardest on the ones we love.
Yeah, it's very clear that you and I are both product of immigrant parenting. but seriously, though, that was just super heartwarming to see that reaction from the crowd. B, I couldn't believe Kyle Lowry was driving the way he was today. There was one play where I just remember, like, looking quickly at my laptop, just look at Twitter and see what was going on. The Magic had just scored a random bucket, and I looked up, and Kyle had already taken the ball from out of the, like, inbound of the ball,
yeah,
and gone to the other side of the floor for a layup in about, yeah, 4 seconds. And yeah, I'm thinking, like, where was this all season?
There was just so much aggression. Like, it was borderline, like, disrespect swag, right? Like, you cannot guard me. Who are you, DJ Augustine? Who are you?
No, seriously, DJ Augustine tonight, 1 of 6.
And I mean, I thought they were going to hold DJ Augustine to 0 points at one point. You know, in the first half, he was at zero, and then there was that stretch of calls.
Oh man, the Mark Davis effect.
And then all of a sudden, he goes to the line and gets a couple free throws. So, you know, he was able to get some points that way. But again, a largely ineffective night, and that's pretty much been the story for him since, you know, the beginning of the second half of last game. If you, as long as you just take out that final minute.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the game winning three.
But yeah, again, Kyle Lowry, that level of aggressiveness. I mean, we've only seen that when Kawhi hasn't been in the lineup, that version of Kyle Lowry. So to see it in a playoff game with Kawhi in there, with Kawhi still being able to do what he does and play like playoff Kawhi, if you can get both of those together, finals, baby.
You know, that's the angle of your piece. I see you so excited. No, for real, that's the exact thing. How long have we been talking about that, right? Like, you only get one or the other. No, we got both tonight. And when the Raptors get both consistently, you know what I mean? I don't know if you want to say your prediction, but I'm saying Raptors definitely go into the finals if you get this Kyle and this Kawhi.
So basically,
and you said further.
Yeah, but, you know. No, I think this version of this team, assuming you get a bit more than 0 points out of Danny Green.
Yeah, Danny's had a tough series so far. But, you know, Danny will bounce back. We know he's steady.
Yeah. This version of Kyle Lowry, this version of Kawhi Leonard, the way Marc Gasol played, Pascal Siakam just casually, you know, dropping 19 and 10.
What? He had 19 and 10? This is the thing. I honestly don't remember any Pascal play. I don't even think I wrote about him.
But that's the thing. 10 things. This version of this team, I said it before, I'll say it now, this team can compete with Golden State in a final series. Obviously Golden State would be the favorites. I would pick them to win because they have the experience factor. But,
well, that's if it get past Montrezl Harrell, you know.
Well, yeah.
Hey,
and
man,
who will
Raptors Clippers decide who Kawhi resigns with? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the Raptors Clippers finals.
But yeah, this is, man, the ceiling of this team is really high, man.
This is the thing, and I didn't know Kyle could still do this, right? Because, like, I've done, like, what, 3 podcasts since, like, game one. And the whole time I'm just thinking about, like, the way Kyle can score, and I'm like, the way he just can't drive as much anymore. Because all season he hasn't really driven. Like, you could look at all the numbers and everything like that, right? It's like the lowest percentage of his shots at the restricted area for his entire career. And then you look at it tonight, an entirely different player, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not afraid to say whatsoever, I was wrong about the way Kyle can score, because apparently Kyle can still do this. There was that spin move he pulled off against Terrence Ross. He pulled off a spin move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he hard planted, spun, kept Terrence on his back, a bigger player, and then, like, went in for the layup. And I'm just thinking, like, where was all this? Like, aggressive baseline drives. There's one where Marc Gasol found him, sort of an impromptu baseline cut. He gets to the rim. He finishes over, I think, Gordon or Isaac. Like, obviously way bigger, way more athletic players. And I'm just thinking, like, where was this level of play? And, you know, to be honest, it doesn't even matter to me anymore. Like, as long as if Kyle has a playoff gear and he's been saving it for this, and he's capable of performances like this, not even every game. You know what I mean? Like, because in most games, we just need, like, 15 points out of Kyle and some defense and some assists. But if he can crank it up when he needs to and get to the basket and also hit the threes and be in a rhythm, get to the foul line, this is incredible. This is like 2016 Kyle.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, you know, because of how effective Kyle Lowry can be at distributing the ball, he can forget to sort of call his own number, and he can sort of put so many people ahead of him where, you know, he needs to understand, in order for the ceiling of this team to be achieved, he's got to be a big part of that as well. Now, again, I still maintain the fact that with the way Siakam has developed, with the addition of Marc Gasol, with the way, you know, Kawhi Leonard can give you 37 on 22 shots, in 33 minutes. I'm just looking at that now.
Kyle is just the opening act, man. We got to talk about Kawhi after this.
You know, everything Kyle does is a compliment to those guys, but it can't be lost that they still need, you know, him to provide that sort of cherry on top.
Yeah, for sure. Again, like, I mean, this has been true for as long as Kyle Lowry's been here. As Kyle goes, the Raptors go. Mm-hmm. It's no coincidence that Kyle goes out for 22 points tonight. Raptors win by, you know, 29.
Yep.
You know? So, yep. Kyle, great performance. Really heartwarming. Again, sorry, Kyle. We were wrong about you. Apparently, you can score at every level, and we're very happy for you. But Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
You know, see, Kyle wasn't even the best player on the floor tonight. That was Kawhi Leonard.
That is.
And it wasn't even just Kawhi was the best player on the floor. Kawhi was, like, top three NBA player.
Best player in the East.
I mean, yeah. Giannis is scaring me, but, you know, Giannis can't score like this.
I don't think so, man. Yeah. And that's the thing. When those possessions, you know, if it were to play out with the top two teams in the East facing each other, those possessions where Kawhi is guarding Giannis, I think that's going to be a big factor. You look at how important it is for Giannis to get into the paint, and then that's where Kawhi can separate himself, right? Like, you know, obviously he was in the bag with all the offensive moves and doing whatever he wanted to do, but even defensively, the impact that he can have. I mean, that's what Nick Nurse even talked about at the podium. It's almost like they know that Kawhi can get his offense whenever he wants, right? I mean, especially when he gets deep in the paint. There were times he got deep in the paint and Gordon was right there and Isaac was right there and it didn't matter. He just bodies them. Boom. I got the space I need. Ball's going up. Layup. And again, defensively, when he's able to force turnovers, when he's able to make reads, he has that special ability when offensive players go into that crossover where he's able to poke at the ball, you know, right as it's touching the ground and poke it away. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like he's almost been teaching OG that a little bit, who, yeah, again, is still missing. But,
get yeah, well, OG.
He has the full package. And, again, when you have a player like this on your team, you can go into a game against anyone knowing that you can win. And that's a swag. That's a belief that the Raptors have never had before.
I mean, that's exactly right. It's ridiculous watching him. You know, he was good. He was really good in game one. But, like, the way he attacked tonight, I mean, like, he just did. He did anything he wanted to, right? One of the obvious adjustments we talked about was that we wanted to see more Kawhi with Mark pick and roll. And
yeah.
I think Nick Nurse is also someone who sees common sense. He's looked at the tape. He saw that, look, it's nice that Aaron Gordon can, you know, body him up in the post, but can he stay with Kawhi off the dribble? Can he climb around a Marc Gasol screen? What are they going to do in that situation? And most importantly, what's Vucevic going to do, right?
Yep.
Because low-key, Vucevic has been a liability for the Magic over the first two games, and he's their best player. And Steve Clifford even talked about how they got to get new ways to get Vucevic going. But how do you even get him going when his confidence is constantly getting demoralized by Kawhi, like, just drilling daggers in his face, looking him dead in the eye, and just like, I'll just pull up from deep. Yeah, I'll get to the elbow. I'll put you off balance. I'll rise up. I'll shoot.
So that's the other thing. You look at Orlando, the way they play defense, the way they've been the number one defensive team for the past few months. They play such organized team defense that when you have an individual player just going off like that, there's no scheme for that.
There is no scheme.
And so when Steve Clifford comes to the press conference before a single question is even asked and says, I was surprised with what happened in the third and fourth quarter. Guess what? When your players are trying to do what they've done, you know, to steal game one, to sort of make a run, to maybe make a game of it heading into the third quarter, and then Kawhi just does what he does, where, you know, you're saying, man, we got this guy in foul trouble and and there's literally nothing we can do. That has to get your head down. That has to discourage you on some level.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Vucevic only played 25 minutes tonight.
He's 6-for-21 now in the series.
Yeah, and look, listen, I don't. It doesn't really matter. Like, this is the thing, right? I think sometimes when you look at regular season matchups and you look at sort of the history between two players and stuff like that, you might look at it like, yeah, Gordon has had some success. He can do this and this against Kawhi. But then with the truly great players, they just elevate. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what kind of defense you're playing. Like, Aaron Gordon played pretty good defense against Kawhi tonight.
The Raptors have firsthand experience of that.
Yeah. Honestly, this was LeBron-esque. And I'm sorry to bring that up. You know, I think Kawhi obviously is his own man and things like this. But the way I looked at it, it was like LeBronto, but in reverse.
This is honestly
how it must have felt to have LeBron on that team. Because, like, you know, there were stretches in last year's series where LeBron would, remember game two, he started digging.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Those random, like, fadeaway shots, and you're just like, what? Like, come on, you're just toying with us.
Yeah.
That's what Kawhi was doing. He was just toying with them, except he's not, you know, as much of a dick, basically, as LeBron is, because Kawhi is obviously more straightforward and, you know, whatever. But he
had those couple of plays where he got to the rim and he was like, "This is so easy. I'm gonna try and change it up here," and then he missed. But
you're talking about that one play where he like I forget if he split the defense or if like hit a spin move or whatever or crossover, but he like broke down the defense, went straight down the lane. Spun, missed a layup at the rim, and then he came back literally just like, all right, I'll just steal the ball.
Yeah.
And then he took it the court for a layup, and I'm like, yo, this is an incredible feeling. This is just an incredible feeling. And yeah, I mean, this is, again, you think anyone's going to complain about load management? Load management? Please. Why do I need Kawhi to play a random game against the Hornets on a Sunday? No, I don't need that. I don't need that. I need Kawhi to do this in the playoffs, and he looks incredible, man. Yep. He looks incredible. And, I mean, you know, what other takeaways did you have from this game? Because I think, to be honest, the entire starting lineup played pretty well outside of Danny Green. And that was enough to basically get everyone, like, well, Kawhi was plus 37. Plus 37.
I will give Nick Nurse some credit for the rotation changes.
Yep.
I thought... Using Jody Meeks a bit more in the transitional units where, you know, now you either had Pascal Siakam or you had Kawhi Leonard at the four. I thought that worked out a lot better. And, you know, frankly, it could have created more problems with him with the rotation, with Kawhi picking up the two early fouls, with Gasol picking up the two early fouls. And
they slapped Kawhi with that, like, third foul was a loose ball foul. On like a just random rebound.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even being egregious or anything. It's just a run-of-the-mill challenge for a rebound. They're like, oh, Kawhi Leonard, superstar, you got a third foul in the first half. They don't do that to other superstars. So
then Kawhi was just like, whatever, I got to keep my steal-to-foul ratio up. And this guy, like, that's insane. This guy has more steals in his career than fouls.
I mean, even tonight, if he was, you know, foul-prone kind of, at least he had three fouls for a long time.
Yeah.
Three fouls, two steals.
And again, the way
he
managed that foul trouble, right? Like, you would think a guy picks up two early fouls. If he stays in the game, he's going to be a bit more tentative. He's not going to be as aggressive. But it changed nothing. You know, he still, you know, was looking to poke at balls on the defensive end, looked to attack, you know, with ferocity on offense. And that's incredible to see, and that shows the level of confidence he has in his game. And again, it's also to an extent, maybe, you know, certain superstars know that once they get that, you know, that second foul call on them, that, you know, especially on TNT, maybe the refs are going to think twice about giving that third to him in the first quarter.
LeBron.
So, yeah, all in all, again, the rotation, I think, was a lot better, especially with, you know, keeping one of Siakam or Kawhi at the four. And again, you know, using Gasol in the middle of that second quarter, you know, maybe you were looking at Kyle and Kawhi to start the second quarter and saying, okay, what's going to happen in the middle of the second? Because that's where the Raptors got exposed last time when the Magic went up 16 and took that 57-41 lead. But this time with Gasol coming back in, again, you're able to keep the offense in the flow. And then, yeah, third quarter, once that Kawhi show was on, it was done.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of great performances tonight. I mean, Pascal, I thought him playing such long extended. It's not just he played 36 minutes. He played like full 12-minute stretches.
We could literally do a two-hour podcast. There's so much to talk about.
So
Gasol defensively. I mean, his hands. I mean.
Whew, Nick Vucevic, buddy. Listen.
You think about, you know, what he's lost in terms of being able to move laterally, but the IQ, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how you're still able to get in those passing lanes. That's how you're still be able to make those reads. And his impact, again, he's another guy. I think, you know, he didn't attempt a shot in the first half.
He didn't have to,
right?
He was just setting screens. The Magic were, you know, letting Kawhi play one-on-one. Kawhi was like, all right, I'll score.
Yeah.
And then when they doubled Kawhi, started taking some shots.
Yeah. This team.
He started popping threes.
So many weapons, man.
And you know what, though? And it really does. I'm really happy that a team like this has a lot of veterans on it, too, because, like, guys are willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Kyle's sacrificed basically all year. Gasol, since he's come in, has been one of the most unselfish players I've ever seen, especially for someone who's that capable.
To your point, this is a little thing. There was a play where Siakam drove to the rim, and Gasol was wide open at the top of the arc.
Right.
And in most cases, you would expect a player to maybe be a little down that he didn't get the kick out.
Yeah.
Siakam missed at the rim. And right as soon as he missed, Gasol's looking at the ref, saying that there was a shove on Siakam. You got to call that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're talking about veteran leadership. You're talking about sacrificing. You're talking about being unselfish, right? I thought that epitomized that perfectly.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, at one point, the different disparity in foul calls, 13-6. Mark Davis, people. Mark Davis. Every time he's in Toronto. He's probably got 911 on speed dial. let's talk about three stars. No, but for real, though. He got that security escort that one time. Because he screwed up a game against the Thunder. Like, who cares, man? Like, just walk out the arena. No one's going to pull up on you.
Was that the one where Casey got a tech out of nowhere?
Yeah, because Corey Brewer fouled DeMar DeRozan on layup.
Yeah,
and that was like, what is a game-changing call or a non-call at least?
Yeah, but someone random did something, and he thought it was Casey, and then he just like ejected Casey, and I think they were.
No, that was I think DeMar got ejected at the end of that game. Casey got ejected. Yeah. Someone else got a tech, maybe JV or some.
Yeah,
maybe Kyle. I forget, but
it was probably Serge.
Probably Serge. That's probably why he needs the security detail, man. Who knows? Serge might have pulled up on him with a, you know, with the fists. Let's hand out three stars.
Yeah.
Let's hand out three stars. First star. That's tough, honestly. Kyle and Kawhi both play really well. Who are you giving first star to?
It's Kawhi Leonard, man. Like, that was insane. Like, I know, especially after the game one.
So good. This is such a stupid performance, man.
But yeah, when he's playing like that, I mean, I'm pretty sure he just missed like a couple of shots at the end. He was like 12 for 15 at one point, I think. I mean, 15 for 22 is still crazy.
He came in, took a couple threes, tried to get to 40.
That level of dominance in 33 minutes. Dude, the same number of minutes he played last game.
I know. Well, here's the thing. If you just play your best lineups, you could still keep minutes down because you're just going to win those lineups by a lot of points.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You know, Nick Nurse didn't go, oh, I'll play Gasol and Ibaka together. No need.
Exactly.
All right? Just play Pascal and Kawhi at power forward. Let them handle the minutes. They can play extended minutes. They've talked about they're ready and they're capable of doing it. And
wasn't that hilarious when Nurse was saying that he took Kawhi out? What was it? The end of the third?
Yeah, he played
and
the full.
He was like, I'm going to give you 2 minutes off, and then be ready to go. And Kawhi's like, yeah, I'm ready to go now.
Yeah. Why do you think you load managed me the whole time, man? Let's go already. Let's play. I'm not trying to lose again. Kawhi's stat line, 37 points, 15 of 22 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. It's actually hilarious. Kawhi's only taking 6 free throws in 2 games. Come on, guys. Give him some. Anyway, whatever. He didn't need the help tonight. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, plus 37. Plus 37 in 33 minutes. Incredible night from Kawhi Leonard. Unstoppable, really. And it's like it's beyond the fact that he was scoring so efficiently. It was the psychic effect of just like the comfort in knowing Kawhi could literally score at any time. Don't worry about anything.
Yep.
And so, great performance by Kawhi. I'm going to go with Kyle Lowry, second star, 22 points in 37 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from deep. I like this because this means he actually took nine twos and four threes. And normally he would take nine threes and four twos.
Yeah.
But today he was actually able to score from 2-point range. He shot 6 of 9 from 2-point range. So, you know, that's something that Kyle needs to do. Like, he has to balance his offense. And the fact that he was actually, you know, we talked about how he can adjust by going to the mid-range and stuff. He didn't settle for the mid-range. He was just like, I got DJ Augustine on me. I'm going to go to the basket.
And he gave you what you wanted too. Mm. You talked about that one play in game one where he looked to take the charge on Augustine.
Yep. And then this time he blocked
him. This time he blocked him.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle was everywhere. I mean, this is a classic Kyle stat line. 22 points, 8 of 13, 2 of 4 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. He could have got more if they literally ever give him continuation. 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and a block shot, plus 30 in 37 minutes. I mean, it doesn't even encapsulate everything he did, man. I mean, the guy's also diving on the floor for loose balls.
Taking charges.
Took a charge. You know, Michael Carter-Williams elbowed him in the face.
Yo.
Yeah. And he only got a tech. How's that a tech? That's a flagrant one. That's,
I don't know.
100% of we literally just saw Embiid do that to Jared Allen the other night. Like, I don't know how you would have two different calls for that. But third star. There's a couple options here. I think Pascal deserves it a little bit. But I think, honestly, Marc Gasol might deserve it more just for his defense.
I agree. Yeah, again, you talk about, for me personally, you know, I do feel, you know, there is a psychological effect of taking out the opponent's best player. Mm-hmm. And Steve Clifford's talked about Vucevic being their best guy. And again, for the second,
it didn't look like
game,
it tonight.
Second night in a row where he hasn't been able to get anything going. He was scoreless in the first half too. So, you know, while Gasol wasn't scoring out of, because, you know, out of unselfishness and just not needing to, Vucevic was literally getting shut down. So, yeah, his impact defensively, and again, just being able to be another facilitator in the offense, another pivot point, you know, definitely a deserved third star.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like, this is why you trade for a guy like this, because there are 16 game players, there are 82 game players. Gasol is a 16 game player, man.
Yep, and no doubt.
In that third quarter there, where the Raptors really stretched the lead, I mean, the Raptors won the quarter 39-27. Wow. Gasol, I mean, just him splashing those threes and just having him as an option at the top of the key where he's like, oh, no one's open for a cut, I guess I'll just shoot the three.
Yep.
And having a center who can shoot really just frees up so much for your offense. And then obviously defensively, I mean, he's been sensational. So those are your three stars. The Gerald Henderson Award, I don't even know.
I'll give it to Terrence Ross for that little stretch when he got hot, being guarded by Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, that's a bit of an issue. Yeah. Fred is like 5'10", and Terrence Ross is like 6'6", and Terrence Ross has like a 40-inch vertical.
But game three, that's probably Patrick McCaw.
Yeah, Pat McCaw. So he's close, very close. He's practicing and stuff.
Yeah, so to update on the situation, he did practice yesterday. He did actually try to go through some warm-up routines before the game tonight, but couldn't ultimately get the green light. So with another couple of days rest going into Friday, especially if they can put on another performance like this, you could see maybe some low leverage minutes just to get him back in the flow.
Yeah, second quarter burst of energy. I mean, that's basically when,
as low leverage as playoff minutes get anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what did Ross have tonight? 15 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 3 of 7 from the 3. I don't like that they keep giving him that foul call, because he's just kind of jumping and then putting his legs out. Like, that's,
it's
not
annoying.
A foul. Like, it's, you know, like, Kyle does the same thing, but they don't give Kyle continuation. So I don't see why Terrence Ross. He's gotten one in each of these two games. And in game one, I saw the replay. He definitely kicked his leg out.
Yeah.
And that's a super annoying call, because, like, it's just, it's not a foul. Like, otherwise, how are you supposed to guard shooters?
Yeah.
They could just kick their legs out, right? So there was also the Patrick Patterson Award, which is for the Raptor player that underperformed as compared to expectations.
Norman Powell?
Yeah, I'll probably pick Norm. I mean, Fred didn't have a great game either.
Right.
Defensively, it wasn't good. He only shot 1 of 5. But Norm just had so many open threes.
Yeah.
And he just kept breaking them. But yep. Norm did have one nice driving kick to Kawhi. That's probably the only positive memory I have from Norm. But listen, this is the nature of Norman Powell. He's going to suck for like 5 games in a row, and then he'll give you like a 25-point performance.
He doesn't have Dwayne Casey to save anymore.
Wow.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Man, Dwayne Casey would kill to have Norman Powell in Detroit right now.
I mean, it's not changing anything in that series.
They start thawing.
It's not changing anything in that series. That's yeah, a sweep.
Damn. Yo, Dwayne Casey's really going to get swept 4 to 5 years. And that one who didn't get swept, he lost the series by 100 points. Yo, this is going to be like one of the worst playoff resumes ever, man. Feel bad for him. This is not his fault, but it's unfortunate what happened to Dwayne Casey. Anyway, listen, we could talk about this game all night long, but we gotta go home and stuff, and we gotta let people clean up Scotiabank and stuff. So for myself, for Vivek, thanks for listening to Raptors Love Everything. And so, programming note, we're going to continue the Raptors reaction podcast while we're on the road. So I'm gonna be in Orlando to cover the series. I think the coverage plan is probably going to be the same. Probably hear a little bit more of Ahmed on the show, although I don't know. Maybe I'll Skype you. Who knows? You'll be watching the games.
Yeah.
So look out for that. So thanks again to everyone for listening. Again, support the show, rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll be back after game 3.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.